I come before you once again this evening. Father, I stand here a weak, unworthy man, God, to present your word to these fine people, Father. God, I pray that you'd help me to say everything you'd have me say and nothing that you wouldn't have me to say. Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Father, I pray you'd please help me not to get in a hurry and speak everything as thorough as I can. Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.
Amen.
I'd like for you to take the King James and turn to Psalm chapter 18. While you're turning there, I have a introduction I'm going to try to really get out and where no one's confused, but there's a statement that I've heard really not until I didn't hear it until we come to Mountain State, but you hear it all the time. It's a statement that's used often, a lot. And there's no truer statement than what this statement is. And sometimes, we all, at times, if you live long enough, that we'll go through some hard times and some things that it's hard for us to say this statement. It's just not really what we're wanting to say. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's you can't use it enough. You can't say it enough. And that statement is, God is good. And God is good. And you can't say it enough.
Right.
He is. So my question to you is, to you, He's always good to us. But when do you feel like saying and proclaiming that God is good?
No.
We all know He's good all the time.
Right.
But what's it take for you to say God's good?
Yeah.
What has to happen to where something will keep you from saying God is good? How bad's it got to get to not say it? How good's it got to be for you just to say it? Just, oh, God's good. Sunny day, God's good. So just think about that to where it's not, just bear with me. Is it easy for you to say, and do you only say it when the bills are paid? Put the last check in the mail. Put the flag up. Man, God's good. When I was 16, I thought if my truck was filled up and I had $100 in my pocket, I thought I was Donald J. I mean, it was... We're looking up. Now it ain't quite like that. But what's it take for you to say God's good? Is it only when you get that new job that you thought you had to have, prayed about it, seek the Lord, and He give it to you? All right, you start Monday. Man, God is good. Call everybody. Thanks for praying. God's good. God's good. This is great. What about when your marriage that was that close from blowing plumb apart? I'm talking, it's over. We're going to ruin our lives, going to ruin our kids' lives, going to ruin their kids' lives. And God puts it back together.
Yeah.
And there's a peaceful home. Your home's full of peace. Man, God is good. What about when you go to the doctor, you're praying about it, everybody's praying. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, Hog just said it. Doctor seen something, what in there? I'm sorry, you're clear. Amen. God's good.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And He is.
Yes, He is.
There's no truer statement than this right here.
Right.
God is good. Or your cancer or someone else's cancer goes in remission. Man, God is good. We naturally say that.
Yeah.
It's so easy for us to just say, sun's shining, rainbow, good breeze, flowers are blooming. No cancer, bills are paid, family's good. God's so good.
Yeah.
And it would be true. And it's great. Don't ever hesitate to say God's good.
That is right. He is.
Or when the person you've been so burdened for and praying for walks the aisle, kneels down, and gets saved. Hallelujah. God's good, and He is. It's great. It's a true statement. And the list of scenarios that we could put together here goes on and on and on. And I'm not putting anybody down, being critical, not kicking them for anyone that says God is good.
Right.
Amen, brother. I agree. God
right.
is good.
Yeah, He is.
That's right. You can't say it enough. It's a wonderful thing to say. It's just that I'm wanting you to consider the statement God is good. And when you say the statement God is good, is it something that we just say out of habit, or do we believe it?
Yeah, that's good.
Like, think about it for yourself. God is good. Do you believe it, or do you just say it? Is it as simple as walking the door? Hello, how are you doing today? Hey, how you doing? How you doing? You really don't care how they're doing. You're just being polite. It's a habit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
See someone to pray for. I'm just saying, whatever you want to put together, is it habit, or do you believe it? Even if you say it out of habit, that's great. I believe the Lord's pleased. I mean, this is beautiful. They're saying how good I am.
Right.
So, just to confirm that I am for the statement, God is good, I want to go through the Scripture and prove to you from the Bible that He is good.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. Psalm, I want to try to take my time tonight and go through this and just be plain. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." If you trust Him, He's your buckler. 25:8. "Good and upright is the Lord." Thank you. Good and upright is the Lord.
Amen.
Are y'all understand? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is the mic on? Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. He's good. He's upright. 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." If you just get a taste one time, you get around it one good time and get you a good bite, you will know that old taste and see. You'll see that the Lord is what?
Good.
The Lord is good.
Yes,
old taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him.
Yes.
86:5. I think you could find on every page of this book that the Lord is good. 86:5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good." Not just good, but He's ready to forgive. I'm glad He's on call because I need Him a lot. He's making house calls. He really don't leave. I put Him next door because I need Him so much, I'm telling you. And He don't want to leave. That's the great thing about it. "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Not just got some mercy. Plenteous. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. There's no end to His mercy. 100:5. "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." 106:1. "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever." You know how I know His mercy endureth forever? Because if it didn't, it'd have been out for me a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, got to cut you off. Not my God. That's not how He operates. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." 107:1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Guess what the next four words is? "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever.
Yes, sir.
118:1. Here it is again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
119:68, and this is kind of where all this come from. Actually, not kind of. This is where it come from. And it's becoming one of my famous or favorite verses. Thou art good and doest good.
Yeah.
Okay, you understand he can't help it. He can't help himself.
That's right.
Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher, I think I said it last time, he cannot do otherwise. Can't help it.
Yeah.
135:3. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. 145:9. The Lord is good to all. Don't matter. It don't matter who you are, what you done, what color, where you from. It don't matter. The Lord is good to all. And His, not just mercies. These mercies are tender, I'm telling you. For His tender mercies are over all His works. Okay, we all got it. God is good. Any questions? We good?
Yeah, we're good.
Let's say it on three. Three. God is good.
Amen.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Genesis 22. Now, if I'm going too slow, y'all tell me to hurry up. I can't help it. It's normally the other way around. So, in Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, we're going to read that God tells Abraham to do something. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now look, this is where he tells, this is telling him he tells him. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He just told Abraham to take Isaac and make a burnt offering out of him. Leviticus 1. This is we're going to read it and pay attention here, because this is where it's explained in the process of a burnt offering. So as we're reading this, well, I'm in Numbers. Hold on. As we're reading this, I want you to keep in mind, this is what God has asked Abraham to do to His only son that He loves. Leviticus 1, verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary, or at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now keep in mind, this is what Abraham is to do with Isaac.
Right.
For he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces.
Right.
Going to cut him up.
Yeah.
And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts. Talking about laying the parts. He done diced him up.
Right.
That'd be pretty hard.
Yeah, it would.
That'd be hard. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. Now listen to this. Of a sweet savor unto the Lord. That's what the Lord wanted. Back to Genesis 22. Starting verse 5. You will see here that Abraham is obedient to what God told him to do. Carried it through until he physically was stopped. Isaac's life is spared. Oh, happy day. Genesis 22:5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. Now here we go. This is his great faith. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
Right.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Praise the Lord. The Lord intervened. Abraham was obedient to the fullest extent.
Right.
To when the Lord stopped him. Abraham passed the test. And hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. I guarantee you, Abraham said that walking down off that mountain. I mean, it was great. Could you imagine? Your only son, you're about to take him out. The Lord stops him, shows mercy. This is great. Hallelujah. God is good.
Yes, sir.
But
yeah, good.
I'm not trying to put in the Bible what is not in there. Application. What if Abraham and the lad both didn't return? What if the angel of the Lord never did stop him?
Right.
What if Abraham offered his son a burnt offering? Well, the lad didn't come back with him. What if that would have happened? Think about it. There's times in our lives, and there will be, I believe, if you live long enough, and you're seeking the Lord, the Lord's going to want something that you got. And He's going to say, give it to me. He's not always going to stop you. You may walk off that mountain alone.
Right. That is right.
The lad and you may not come back.
Yep. Right.
You may walk up that mountain and what you took with you is not coming back with you.
That is right.
God wanted what you had.
Yes, sir.
Now let me ask you something. If the lad and Abraham would not have both came back, would God still be good?
Yes, He would.
Could you still say God is good? Could Abraham still say God is good?
Yes.
It's not always when you get what you want. It's not always when things work out. God is good.
Right. Right.
I'm telling you, when you're hitting rock bottom in the will of God, doing what He wants,
yeah.
God is good.
Yes, He is.
That's right.
It don't matter if the lad don't come back with you. God is still good. And it's things and people that you love so much that you couldn't imagine being without. Every time I think of something like this, think of Philip and Lindsay. Lindsay said she knew God was going to take one of her kids. Never imagined it would be Philip. Because that's what she told the Lord. Lord, I need Philip. I can't do it without him. Guess what? Her and Philip didn't walk back off that mountain.
No.
But God is still good. It don't matter what circumstance in life happens. It don't matter how bad it is.
Right.
Nothing can change the fact that God is good.
That is right. Amen.
So, I'm not down in nothing, and please understand this. We naturally do it. We just got a prayer request. Son says cancer. Oh. And it is. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Cancer's gone. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's still good.
Gene, if you die tomorrow of cancer, God's still good. It don't matter.
Right.
It's life's but a vapor.
This is true.
I'm trying to get you to understand God is good.
Amen.
You can go to the doctor's appointments with great faith as Abraham did, trusting the Lord, being obedient. You walk in the doctor's office. Sorry, your husband, your wife has cancer. The next thing you find yourself leaving the cemetery without him.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not knocking anyone that don't have a shouting spell walking out of that cemetery.
Right.
I'm just saying, God's still good.
Yes,
it don't matter.
Right.
Genesis 39.
Yes, this is true.
Verse 20. We're going to read where Joseph is thrown in prison under a false accusation from Potiphar's wife. And verse 20 says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Verse 14 of chapter 40. This is where Joseph is interpreting the chief butler's dream. And after he interprets the dream, he says in verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Verse 23, chapter 40. Joseph asked him to remember him. Chief butler's on cloud nine. He's out of prison. Things are looking up for this guy. Verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Not throwing stones to anybody. But may I tell you, I'm talking about people you're close to. People that you love. People that once loved you. We're going out to dinner together. We're playing ball together. We're going on visitation together. Sitting on the same pew. Going to the same church. Sometimes people will not put you in a literal prison. But in their mind, they've put you in a prison. They've forgot about you. They shun you. They don't want nothing to do with you. They won't look your way.
Yeah.
Here they did forget him, but because of bitterness, they ain't forgot about you. But they're doing all they can to, in their mind, "I'm done with you. I'm writing you off. You're in prison. I want to forget about you." And you can tell by the way they treat you.
Yeah.
Won't shake your hand in the church. Walk straight by you, don't looking down. I mean, you're the next guy right in line. "Hey, how you doing?" I'm saying it's obvious when there's issues, and people will do to you what they done to Joseph under false accusations.
Yeah.
And it's happened. It's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it hurts. You know it hurts. We all know it hurts. to watch someone walk by and think, man, we used to be so close. What happened? My heart's broke. Your heart's broke. Because you love them.
Right. Sure.
You want things to be right.
Sure.
But you say, why have they put me in a prison? Why have they forgot about me? I love them. My heart is broke.
Yeah.
Pieces shattered. The pain and the heartbreak and the heartache it causes. It may be hard to say God's good. But I'm telling you, it don't matter the pain. It don't matter the circumstance. It don't matter the prison. It don't matter being forgot about. God ain't forgot about you. He'll never forget about you. And God is still good.
Amen.
Even in a time such as that.
Yes, amen.
Because He is all we need.
Yeah, man.
So, just be encouraged that God is still good.
Yeah. Yeah.
This next thing we're going to look at, if you want to be in a way brokenhearted because of what the Lord done for us, because you're sorry. Study a Roman scourging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Study what that was.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 27. It'll change the way you think.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. They would take the person to what they called the Roman whipping post, put their hands, make them kind of slump over it, and hold it, and tie their hands where there's no defense. You ain't going nowhere. Strip you naked where there's no protection. Then you have the weight of the body pulling down a little bit if your toes are a little bit off the ground. And they take that scourge. We all know what it is, I think. Long pieces of leather as a whip with bone or glass metal in it. And when they pull back and hit, it depends on how they're doing it, but there's nothing stopping it from wrapping around their body
right.
and going in. And when they pull, everything's coming with it.
Right. That is right.
Until the bones are exposed.
Yeah.
In Psalms it says, my bones, they stare and look upon me. It wasn't David, that was Jesus.
Yes.
So after he scourged him, and it could be to the point where they say that it was common for a man to be ripped right in half at the Roman whipping post. That they would take that much of your body away.
Yes. Yes, sir.
As the preacher said, we did that to him.
Yes, sir.
Verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And they had plaited a crown of thorns. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And what they was doing, they was using that reed basically to drive the nails or the thorns down into his head.
Right.
And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. You know, sometimes you can read that and man, you can just get so fired up about them soldiers and think, I'm telling you, if I was there, guess what? We was there.
Yeah.
We was it.
Yeah.
So, Matthew 27:45. So this is the suffering that the Lord went through. Some of it ain't finished yet. Verse 45 it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know. In verse 50 it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. He had died. For us, it was the best day in history. When he had died and you know, he rose again on the third day. Out of this comes so much good. And out of all the times when you and the lad don't come back together. And when you're thrown in the prison and God's with you. God is getting good. If you're faithful to Him, stick in there. He is getting good from all this. It is not Him being hard on you and hating you. He is seeking good to come out of your life and glory. One time I was picking up some boards and stuff and chickens all around me. Board laying right in the way. I picked that board up. There's about 15 worms right there. Them chickens. I mean, they was getting the worms like crazy. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Lord said, if you'd let me get the stuff out of your life, I'll let you go in there and get the good.
Yeah.
Let you go in there and get the stuff. I just got to get you to the point where you say, God, take it. And when He moves it, reward you.
Yeah.
It's not always sometimes it is a, I don't know how to say it. In the moment it may be hard, in the moment it may hurt, but you can look back on it and say, wow,
that's right.
What a Savior. God is good. So back to Jesus on this, His suffering and His death. Although for us, from what the good came out of it, it was probably the greatest day for us. But what about Jesus? Who for the joy that was set before Him.
Yeah.
That's us. We're His joy. We were set before Him. He done it because He loved us, but you can't imagine what He went through.
Yeah.
And not only the pain He went through. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
Think of it. The Father has forsaken His own Son because of our sin,
right.
Not because He was upset with Jesus.
Right.
So, that's about the worst thing I can present to you. Now let me ask you. Was God good that day at Calvary?
Yes, He was.
Could you imagine Mary as she's standing there, broken, looking on her son? What about Mary? What about Mommy?
Right.
Could you imagine? I can't.
Yeah, Mama.
Wonder what she was saying.
Mama.
Man. God's good.
Yeah, He is. He's good.
There is not any one circumstance that can come up in life. There's not one thing that can happen. There's not one trial. There's not one suffering. There's not one heartbreak, heartache. There's not one time of a loss of a loved one. There is nothing that can change the fact that God is good.
Yes, amen.
God is just as good as the day you get the job or you lose the job.
Right.
Nothing changes. God's good.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes, sir. Yeah, it's good.
I know it hurts. This ain't... This is hard to accept. And none of us, I don't think, is too keen to do it or good at it. I'm not saying that you're bad if you get down over something.
Right.
Hey, you got cancer, month to live. Hallelujah, God's good. I'm not saying if you don't do that, you're wrong. I'm not saying that.
Right.
All I'm telling you is there's nothing that can change the way God feels for you, loves you, He's good to you.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing.
Yes, sir.
It don't matter. Psalm 119, verse 68 says that Thou art good and doest good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thou art good and doest good. He does all things well. I knew I missed something and it just come back to me. But here's why. Here's why. That we get down, and I'm not knocking you. You understand? I'm telling you this in love, but I want you to see why. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Here's why: when the bad news and the loss, and I'm just saying, if you can do what this verse says to do, it will help you. To be able to say God is good. While we look not at the things which are seen. The things you can see, stop looking at them. Don't look at that. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Anything you can see in this life, it don't matter. It don't matter. I'm just trying to get you to understand it don't matter what you go through. It don't matter. God is good. Look at the things you can't see. Stop looking at what you can see. Look at what you can't see. He does all things well. He maketh no mistakes, Rick. Some of y'all went through stuff I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine. But no, He does all things well, and God is good. Don't just make it something you just say out of habit. It's a great habit. But believe it and mean it. I mean, mean it. Father, we thank You so much for being good. Father, I just pray, God, this time of invitation, Father, that anyone that's struggled with a heartbreak, God, help them to see that You're still good. God, we just thank You for being holy and good and great and perfect. Father, we as this church, God, I just want to say that, God, You're great. God, You're so good. And we thank You, thank You, thank You. Everything You give us is deserved. Father, we love You. God, I pray, God, You would help us see the good in the things we go through. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray and amen.